CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Either I talk too loud or I don't talk loud enough. So this is an extension of a charting application that Eli Greenfield from the Flex team put together, which does variable size pie elements in a pie chart. So it actually shows multiple attributes in all at once. So the radius of the length of the pie is one attribute, and the width of the pie is another. So it's a way to look at multiple attributes in a pie chart. And then, of course, I just extended it and animated it so you can see how you can... This is a do-nothing application, but it still gives you some ideas of what you can do with Flex 2. You would not be able to do this in Flex 1.5. So let's close this. So my name is Thomas Burleson. I'm with Universal Mind. I'm one of the principal architects. I'm a technical architect for Flex and Cold Fusion, but mostly Flex. And we provide mentoring, consulting services, development services, training, and hotspot performance tuning. This session here, we're going to be talking about Flex data services and what Flex data services means, how it integrates with Cold Fusion, and why you should care about it. So before we get started, how many people here have actually used Flex hands-on? Okay, oh, that's excellent. How many people here have used Flex data services? All right, not so many. Well, the upside, so before we get started here, what we're going to do then is we're going to talk about what is Flex data services, why should we use it, and we won't show... I've always been accused of being overly ambitious, and so I won't be able to show you how we do some of these things as much as maybe one sample, and if you want, we'll go into some code. Excuse me. We'll go into some code. To be honest, when I do mentoring and training on this, just presenting Flex data services takes about a day, and then going through the samples and really getting some hands-on almost takes another day. So with 1 hour here, we can't do too much, but my goal is for you all to leave here with an understanding of how FDS works with Cold Fusion and in what scenarios you need to purchase the FDS components and what comes free with Cold Fusion stuff. Because as Cold Fusion users, 80% of your needs are going to be met by the features already available in Cold Fusion. So what we're going to learn here is what features are not there as a build and how you need to extend them. So, I wish I had a pointer. Do we have a pointer? I should have messed with it. So I tried to give sort of a stack diagram of Flex. Now this either tends to make people very happy because I'm not jumping up and pointing at the screen, or makes people crazy because they sort of get a little dizzy with my hand moving out with the dot. So I'll try to be a little careful. So with Flex platform in general, we have the Flex Builder, which a lot of you have said you've seen, used it in some to some extent. We have the Flash Player, and this is Flash Player 9 now, which supports ActionScript 2, which is the Flex Builder 1.5. ActionScript 3, which is the generated by code from Flex Builder 2. On top of that, to actually generate the code and the classes that help you that are used. Who have been to some other sessions where we're talking about accessing Cold Fusion components from Flex 2 and integrating CFCs with Flex 2, that is built into Cold Fusion. You don't need Flex data services. So the Flash Player, of course, is distributed free, has some version detection built into it. You can download it from Adobe, and it upgrades. It detects the latest version and will offer to upgrade install the newest version of the player for you automatically. The Flex Builder, which uses the core or the Flex framework code, right now it's less than $600, as I've heard through the grapevine. It does not support, Flex 2 does not support Flex 1.5 code generation, nor does it support Flex 1.5 code. So if you have Flex 1.5 code, you're going to need to migrate that. And that's a whole series, different series of talks. The great thing about this is with Flex 1.5, you really needed a JPE server. You needed to run something with the Flex server code, the Flex WAR is installed, to be able to run Flex 1.5 applications. You do not need that now with Flex. It used to be called Flex Enterprise Services. Now it's called Flex Data Services. So Flex Data Services, you're going to pay on a CPU basis. It leverages JMS, the Java Messaging System, and that's really what it leverages as a fundamental base of services here. It's used with J2E servers, JRun, ColdFusion, WebSphere. I'm not so certain about WebLogic, but I believe I'm shocked if it doesn't support WebLogic right now. And, of course, it requires licensing. So the three primary elements of the Flex Data Services, or FDS, are the remote procedure call services, the data services, and both of those are built on top of the messaging service. And we'll talk about what we mean by data services in RPCs. So as we go through this, I'm going to present some slides. We'll talk about some concepts. Then we'll actually look at an application, and then if you want, we'll actually dive into some code and try and look at the debugger and see how some of the data is tested to give you a feel for how some of these, or at least one of these. Right now, we're sort of in the boring part, and we're not in the show-me part yet. So with FDS, we have server-side security, which means that you can abstract in your ActionScript code all the details about the HTTP service, about the proxies that are being used, about where the data is coming from, how it's accessed, how it's stored. All that can be hidden. You can have performance analysis and functional testing all on the server. So you can have server-side code that you can compile and test. You can run it in ColdFusion. You can use CFC unit testing framework. If you have Java code, you can use JProbe, whatever you want to test your Java code or your ColdFusion code on the server. You can have client synchronization, and what that means here is if you have two clients looking at the same contact record, for an example, client one makes a change to the name, tabs off, that could actually automatically tell client two their name field automatically updates. This is one feature that's one example of features that's going to be very powerful. We have collaboration, and what we mean by that is sort of a whiteboard concept. If you want multiple people to be looking at the same type of view, and as they're making changes, they're all seeing each other's changes, we have a collaboration effects. We have paging of data. I don't have the example here. There was one example where there were 10,000 records, and you could actually page data, and what you were seeing coming back to the client was maybe 500 records, and as you're scrolling, it's automatically behind the scenes grabbing more records, and the scrolling is extremely seamless. Imagine trying to load 10,000 full objects from the server, and then, so you have to wait for it to load, and then you fill up your data grid, and now you're trying to scroll through it, and meanwhile the data grid's got all this data it's trying to manage. So with paging, that's all handled transparently for you. We have data push features, we'll talk about in a minute, and then we have some real-time data delivery. So what I mean by real-time data delivery, for example, decision support systems, medical systems, investment systems. An investment system is a good one. If you had a stockbroker dashboard and you wanted the dashboard to update in real time based on any changes on the server, regardless of where that data changes came from, whether it came from a VB app, a Java application, a Java applet, a web page, whatever, if you wanted your Flex client to be updated automatically in real time without polling, this is what FDS does for you. FDS is huge. So let's talk about the remote procedure calls. This is what you get with ColdFusion out of the box. You get HTTP service, SOAP calls, and a remote object with CFC. It's free. You don't need FDS. If you want to access Java objects directly within your, and you could do that within ColdFusion, because ColdFusion ultimately is a Java-based J2E application server, you need FDS. But if you just want to access ColdFusion components, you don't need to license FDS. It's built into ColdFusion 7 for you. To get data, you're not worried about real-time server pushing. You're not worried about connecting to Java objects. You just want to use CFCs or XML data or HTTP service. You already have that with ColdFusion 7. Real-time data sharing. Two clients, two Flex clients here, and these are Flex clients I'm referring to, Flex 2 applications. So now we have some client, whether it's a page or another Flex client, has submitted a change to data through the messaging services. Let's see here. I think I'm missing some lines here. Nope. Okay. Those data changes that could then be saved through the JMS, and actually could be published from through the JMS to MQ series, TIBCO, other messaging systems, could be persisted out back to the server. The JMS then goes through the data synchronization features and updates the Flex client. So the changes come in here and get sent back out to these two Flex applications. Some of the other features that we get with FDS is local persistence service. How many here are familiar with the local shared object within Flex? Okay, a few of you. Local shared object, you can think of it as, in its simplistic form, it's a cookie. But it's more than that, because you can save on a key basis data from your Flex application. Now, it's really not meant to be a database, but you could think of it as a lightweight database if you really wanted to. But the local shared object, right here, allows your Flex application on your computer to save data as appropriate. Of course, you have to write code to do that, but there's an infrastructure to do that for you. Now, with FDS, there's a common API for actually reading and writing and deleting from the local shared object, and there are adapters that use the FDS to store data synchronization. And what we mean by this is, let's say you have your Flex application. You make some changes to a contact record. Maybe you have 10 contacts, and you make a change to contact number 2. And you're not actually saving each change every time you make a contact, so you're sort of going to do a batch process, right? So you're going to change 4 or 5, and then you might hit a save button. But before you hit the save button, you lose your connection. Your server is disconnected for whatever reason. With a little bit of extra coding, you can actually save that automatically in the local shared object. It's cached. You can shut down your Flex application, come back later, restart it back up, the server's reconnected, and we'll actually try to synchronize your data changes for you if you hit submit. So this offline capability allows, what's a really good example of this? There's been a lot of work put into Java applications, for example, where they had these applications and they were connected to the server, but now they had field agents that wanted to go out in the field, insurance companies, a big one, and updating client records, insurance claim forms, whatever. So they were all, and they didn't have a wireless, so they were way out in the remote field. So they all needed to work offline. They needed data from the database stored locally. They wanted to access it. They wanted to make changes to the data. And when they get back to the to corporate headquarters, reconnect up to the server, and merge their changes in. Features like that are now becoming available with Flex 2. Example of that. I had to sort of pick and choose for sort of a limited time. And the other question was, are there any examples of doing that? And I believe that one sort of played low. Come to me afterwards and we'll either talk about it, or I'll get your email address and I'll send you an example. Okay. That actually, by the way, is really powerful. That's one of the probably the least discussed features of FDS, but that's huge. It doesn't come for free. You have to write. Plus, we have data conflict features, so you'll see that also. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So we're talking some extremely powerful features that have never been there before. In some cases, that feature there alone is almost justification for buying Flex Data Services. But when we see some of the other features, you're going to see how it all comes together. And Adobe has just done a great job in terms... Yes? Okay.
And no clustering. I mean, basically all of this is included, it seems like, from what he said, as part of the free express.
I'm not surprised. You know, that's part of a marketing approach, and it's a great approach, right? Get people using it, writing code for it. Because once you start using FDS, even if it's on one CPU, FDS is for sort of enterprise solutions, right, where you have multiple people using. And if you have one CPU and you're in an enterprise, next thing you know, you need multiple CPUs. You want multiple users. And so it's a great position for Adobe to take to get more people using this technology. Well, you know, that's all related to load testing also, right? And it depends on how much data you're what type of data you're transferring across, how often are they hitting it at the same time? So the answer is I can't give you that an answer. It all depends on the context of your problem or your solution that you're trying to provide. And that wasn't meant to sidestep, but I would say that even if I was with you and looking at if you had a specific problem. If you're transferring lots of data all the time and it's just thrashing the server, well, then you're going to need multiple CPUs. But if what you're changing, let's say, for example, through Flex Data Services, you're using CFCs through remoting to access your data, but you're using Flex Data Services to just say, don't give me all the data that's changed. Instead, just tell me which ID of the data has changed. So that's a real lightweight protocol, right? I mean, it's a real lightweight data transfer. And then your CFC just does what it normally needs to do to go out and get the data. That's one solution. And in that case, the Flex Data Services is extremely light. You know, probably one CPU may work, right? So here, Flex 2 introduces ActionScript components for FDS. And we'll talk about those a little bit. I use the term, and I actually didn't give a definition, but... CFDS, which is FDS for Cold Fusion. Oh, CNotes. Hang on one second. So the notes here, okay. I thought these notes would actually be printed out in the booklets, but they're not, so that's why I made an effort here. And I can't read it unless I go to this. This is Cold Fusion Enterprise Server. Obviously, and we talked about this before, only includes a portion of FDS, except now I've heard that there's an express version. For high performance, and you use what you get for Cold Fusion Enterprise Server is out of the box, you get high performance remote object capabilities for your CFCs. You get HTTP service, which does not work as fast or as well as remoting, and you get web services. That's what we mean by CFDS. Oh, darn it. So, again, with FDS for Cold Fusion, built into Cold Fusion, we have high-performance, secure access to CFCs, and we have messaging. Now, this is an important thing. This is sort of a subtle issue, but we have messaging from Flex applications on another server that may have FDS can actually send messages to your Cold Fusion server that doesn't have FDS. Because remember, the whole messaging infrastructure is built into Cold Fusion through the gateways, and I believe there's a servlet too. Is Mike Nimer here? I don't see him. Sarge is there, but... So this way is already provided for you from Flex on another server to your Cold Fusion applications on your server. If you want to have two-way from your server or basically from Cold Fusion applications to back to Flex applications, that's when you need FDS. If you want to use proxy security, And we'll talk about that in a minute. That's another very powerful feature. Proxy security for access to distributed data systems, if you want to do paging of large volumes of data, real-time data sharing, or dashboard-type features where you have instant server-side pushing of the data. You don't have to have a client that polls anymore. Part of the problem with polling, of course, is how often you set your intervals, your polling interval. And all too often, you have your network administrator that gets very upset if you're polling frequently. So let's talk about using a... Okay. So here is an example of proxies. So in our Flex code, we're using a remote object feature to access a CFC. So this is the syntax you'll see often. So here, we just give it a generic ID, and we've said, listen, the destination we want is the Cold Fusion... this is the Cold Fusion gateway. It's a predefined destination for a remote object, but we've told it to use this particular component, myapplication.components.user. And we've said, and when the response comes back, we're going to call this function right here. The problem with this is that, well, there's a couple problems with this. One of them is that your developers have to know about your Cold Fusion components. Your ActionScript and Flex developers have to know about the packages stored on your server. The second is if you published, if you had access to source code to people, they'd be able to see your package structures, and then they might even try to figure out how they could query the user component directly. So there's potential security issues related to this. So with FDS, I can use a proxy. I can just give it a generic name called custom ID, and inside on my server, I specify that I want to use components.user. No one outside, no one in the Flex world knows about that. No one in the Flex client world knows about that. I can use a different component, whatever. I could change packet structures completely independent of the Flex code, and it all still works. I have here C code samples. We'll see how we do on time, but we may come back to some of these. I definitely have an example I want to show. We'll walk through. But some of these others, we'll see if we still have time. Data sharing. Real-time, two-way data sharing. So I mentioned before medical insurance forms, decision support systems, dashboard systems. So, and we're actually going to see an example of using with the Flex store. Has anyone seen the latest version of the Flex store with FDS2? Okay, only a couple people. So we'll show you the Flex store, the latest version that's available, and then we'll show how that's been extended with FDS to update a dashboard system for inventory tracking. So you could have an inventory department understanding that there's a certain number of orders in your inventory, you need to reorder inventory, and we'll show that how that works real time. So here, let's talk about a typical scenario for using data sharing. A user is ordering online, and this is actually a pretty sophisticated one. There's a fair amount of code you'd have to write, but FDS supports these types of features now. So a user is ordering online and submitting an invalid credit card. So he has a credit card form, he's put in his credit card information, and he hits submit, and it says there's a problem. All too often, you lose online purchasers because maybe the system doesn't respond with enough clarity of what's wrong, there's not enough guidance, or they get frustrated because they want to talk to a support rep, and they leave. So you lose a potential sale. So instead of getting an abstract error, as soon as that happens, there's an invalid error, you can actually have your Flex app pop up a little window that's connected live to an online support representative, sort of like IM. But it's within your Flex app. But more than IM, or if you had a microphone, for example, one of the things, this would be connected with a media server, and is even a little bit more complicated than this scenario, which is what would pop up would be the video stream from the client rep, because the customer service rep has a little video cam, and you could see that. But if you didn't have that and you just wanted text, a little window pops up, and the customer service rep says, "What's the problem? How may I help?" The buyer types in, "I've got this problem." Guess what happens? The rep says, "Oh, He sees the exact same data on his machine that's in all your fields. Now, he goes, oh, and he even sees the field that's invalid on his machine. And it's not just a snapshot, it's an actual form. And he says, oh, let me fix this. What's your credit card number? Oh, you put in the date wrong. Puts in the date. The client's version immediately gets updated. And the rep says, so does everything look correct now? Yes, it looks pretty good. The rep says, okay, I'm going to submit the form for you. Clicks the submit button on his end, tells the client's machine, through some code that you've set up, submit. It starts the submission process. So by just getting an error and the client explaining what the problem is, he didn't have to do anything else. Sort of like a remote control. Try doing that without Flex 2 and Flex Data Services. FDS for dashboards. Data aggregation. User A is ordering online several products, submits an order. User B is ordering online, submits an order. So you have a whole bunch of users. Okay, and we're actually going to see a demo of this and walk through the code. So every time a user submits an order, and in this case I was talking about products from the Flex store, we're going to see the inventory dashboard update with the current inventory status for all products. How am I doing on time? About a half an hour? What's that? So, to summarize here, if you use the full Flex Data Services with ColdFusion, you have server-side, didn't I already cover this? You have server-side, I think I already covered this, but you have server-side security, we have performance, collaboration, data paging, data push, client synchronization, and real-time data delivery. Not all of you are going to use every one of these features. Matter of fact, in normal cases, you may use one or you may not use any of these. You may just be using CFCs directly or Java objects directly. And especially for a lot of people doing Flex development right now, even if you're not doing Flex development, we have Flex development teams who won't need these features right away because they have to sort of talk to their clients, their bosses, the projects, and sort of discuss the scenarios of when they want to use this, because if you just jump into it, you could design systems that really just dog everything down. So you can step into it and decide which one of these features you need. All right, so there's that. Actually, one moment. I had another section here. Okay. Here. So this, I have some notes here. Let me read this because it's fairly small font. CFC remoting with automatic serialization and deserialization. Does everyone know what I mean by, or let me just describe what I mean by serialization and deserialization. Serialization is when we take the data on the ColdFusion side and we want to translate it into a, think of it as a byte form that can be sent across the wire to the Flex client. Deserialize is when we take that byte data and we transform it again to ActionScript objects that we can use as native objects within Flex, our Flex apps. That process is called marshalling. So as you hear some of these names, you may not remember this, but you'll know that you remember hearing someone talk about these concepts. So here, CFC remoting is using this marshalling process of CFC data to and from ActionScript objects. Okay, the note I have here is that this feature is available in the standard version of ColdFusion. Enterprise version is required only for using the asynchronous gateways. You can have, obviously, in some of the other presentations, we talked about the plugins and the wizards that allow you to map ActionScript classes to CFC data structures. And with Flex Data Services, you have the ability to send messages to other applications. You need the full FDS to publish messages, we talked about the various scenarios of when do you need the full Flex Data Services to talk from the ColdFusion to the Flex apps. So remember, ColdFusion can receive incoming messages through the gateway, but to send ones out to the Flex applications, you need FDS. Okay. Any questions before I go into the demo? It's an AMF. Remote Object uses AMF protocol. It's AMF over HTTP. Okay. Yes, sir.
This might be a little off topic, but is there any kind of administrator built into the data services, or are you still editing XML files to configure the server?
Right now, you're still editing XML files. You have to set up. There's the concept of channels, which is how is it being transported across, in what format. There's a concept of destinations, which defines what channels. And then there's this concept of adapters, which is how is it persisted? So after it comes into the server side, what happens to it? Who handles that data coming in or going out? And so you have to use XML files to configure those. And in some cases, you have to write your own adapters, things like that. If you want to install, actually, that's a really great question. You can install FDS in a separate server instance if you have your Cold Fusion, say your Cold Fusion site's being served up by a J2E multi-server instance, right? And you have one particular server that's Cold Fusion. You can install the full Flex Data Services as another server instance, and they can talk to each other. If you want to merge Flex Data Services into an existing one that doesn't already have it, so you want the full Flex Data Services, there is a way to do that. I don't right now know how to do that. I think Mike Nimer promised a blog. Where is he in here? I'm volunteering him. He promised a blog on specifically how to set that up. So you can do that. In general, if you need more than the basic features in Cold Fusion 7 of FDS, so if you want the real-time data push, the collaboration, the offline, features, the synchronization, then you're going to need the full FDS, right? Then you probably want to reconfigure for multi-server instance. Or talk to the Adobe team about how to merge the full FDS into your existing installation. There is? Okay, excellent. Tom Link, CTO of Universal 9. He keeps me on my toes. Yes? Yes.
So without Flex Data Services, if I wanted to do a server initiated push of data using my own JMS, if I do that and have a Flex client configure that?
Well, if you don't have FDS, then you're going to be using remote objects, right? And so you're going to have to pull.
Okay.
Unless you try to figure out how to maintain your own socket connection. So for real time, because what FDS with real-time is doing is basically opening a socket between the Flex client and the server-side services. So if you want to bypass that, it's not an issue for you to have your server-side code, your Java code, to handle incoming messages, read from the message queue, whatever, right? It's some more of how you handle that pipeline from your server code back to the Flex client. And the answer is, if that's really something you're trying to do, my recommendation is, unless you have a really good reason, like you're trying to distribute it to a you're trying to OEM it, and you just for cost issues, because of multiple servers, you want to write your own. My recommendation is get FDS. It's going to save you a world of pain. Real, and not only that, Adobe's maintaining it. They're going to continually improve it. You don't have to worry about maintaining that code that you wrote to open a pipeline. So sometimes it's not only just how complex it is for you, for us as developers to write these features, it's more of how difficult it is for us to maintain it or for the company to maintain that. Okay. So when you can offload the maintenance issues back to Adobe and let their whole team develop new features for us and we just solve real-world problems with the tools they're giving us, that makes our jobs a lot easier. Anyone else? So let's take a look. Let me close this out here.
here. All right. So let's run this first. This is the FlexStore application. Everyone, you probably can't read that, can you? All right, let me see if I can increase the font size. Let's see here, basic. Text. What's that? Okay, under basic, yeah. Text font, thank you. Change. Can you see that I just don't do this normally? Okay, now can everyone see that? Is that too big? All right, so let's do this. All right, so what we have here, actually, let me first see. What we have here is the FlexStore project, and let's run it so you can get a visual of how many people have seen this application? Okay. This is a really great application. I really like it from a lot of perspectives. As not only as a technical architect, but I tend to have this feeling that things should be designed well and with aesthetics. And Adobe put a little bit of effort into this in looking at usability and how to present a lot of information in a transition and in a workflow that's easy to use. So as an example, if we click here on the products, you'll see the wipe effect that now works really well with Flex 2. You'll see the fact that we actually have a search feature here on the left, but we have the shopping cart here on the right. And if you click on one of these, we get these transitions here. It automatically adds it to the cart. We can delete it. We can go back here. So this type of these types of features are all available in the source code for you to look at and learn how they're doing these things. How are they doing these movements and fades and wipes, and how are they adding it to the shopping cart, and what happens, and how are they using events? So I highly recommend you look at the source code for a lot of the applications, but this one in particular is pretty nice. So here, the goal here being is we can add, let's just go back to the multi-view here, and now I can just come through here and I can add. Okay, I want to add this one, all right? So now I have this. I'm running out of room here. All right, now within the same project, I have another application. That's the inventory dashboard, and I'm going to run this. Like I said, we'll come back and look at the code in a minute. And the FlexStore application, by the way, I got off the CD, or off the samples directory, and I just modified it, and I'll show you specifically where I modified it. It was a pretty easy modification to say, hey, when I'm submitting the order, don't just simulate an order, actually publish an event out to anyone who's listening that these products have been submitted for order. So here is the inventory dashboard, and where credit's due, I need to say that this was initially put together by Bob Tierney, I believe I'm saying the name right, from the Adobe support engineering team, and those guys do a great job, and he graciously allowed me to show this, and then I sort of extended it a little bit. So now, let's do this. Now, oops, I'm going to close this out. Because what I want is I want these in two separate windows, all right? So let's rerun it. Okay. And the reason I want it in two separate windows is I want you all to see. I hope we have the resolution. I don't think we have the screen resolution for this. Okay. We're going to do two things. First, I'm just going to submit an order. And I want everyone to see what happens when the order is submitted. I didn't design this part, so. All right, so here's the dashboard, and it's because of our screen resolution, we may have a little bit of difficulty. So here, well, let's just do one. Actually, let's do two. So we see up here in the grid, and off to the right, you're going to see down here the bar charts representing the inventory for Nokia 6010 right here, and it's up here in this grid. We currently have a quantity of 50, and the threshold for reordering is 30. So if it drops below 30, that's supposed to be a threshold of we need to reorder it. Okay, so you'll see what happens when real-time messages come in to this application, because here's what's happening. This application has said, I want to use FDS to publish my changes. This application has said, I'm not publishing any changes. I want to use FDS to listen and consume changes. So this is a one-way. You could set it up to be two-way, actually. So you could actually set it up to say, hey, when this guy decides the inventory, there needs to be a reorder, let this one know, and then this one would actually remove the products from the list. I didn't do that, but I wanted you to know that it's right now it's just a one-way. Okay? So what we'll do is, if we look at Nokia, let's put it below the threshold. So let's order 21. And for the 31, and let's get rid of some of these so you can just see it easy. Here we go. This is the 3100 blue. And its threshold is 35, so I don't actually want to go below that. So let's just order 5 of those. All right? And you'll watch these charts here. So here you see in these bar charts, you see the threshold and the current inventory. So the orange is the current inventory, and this is the threshold. When I do a submit order, it happened pretty quick, but these changed, and this highlighted red and said, we're below the threshold. Now, the thing to remember is, right now, these are two different windows talking to the same, with two different applications talking to the same server. But this order application could be on any machine, anywhere. If you had this available on the internet, and this behind your firewall, it still would work. This is really, really powerful. And when you see the amount of code that I had to write to actually do this, it's almost trivial. So we'll see that in just a second. Now let me show you something else. Let's add a whole bunch here. Oops. So what I'm going to do here, I extended this a little bit because I wanted everyone to see, to simulate, because I couldn't have everyone with laptops here try to connect to my machine. I'm on a private subnet here. So I wanted to simulate a whole bunch of people submitting orders and have the dashboard update automatically for you to see that effect. So what I did was I used a timer in this application, in the ordering application. First, I created a random process that just says randomly go through and change the quantities here for every product in here. And then every half a second, submit this one, and then the next half a second, submit this one, and then submit this one, and submit this one. So it's just going to increment through these and submit them one at a time. And then we're going to watch what happens over here. So let's refresh this so it has the original data in it. And we're going to do a batch order. See how it changed all that? So that was all, and there was only a few products, but that's all happening through FDS. I wasn't doing anything fancy. I was letting the bar chart update, you know, do the animation, but that's all happening through FDS. So you can get a feel for what it's like if you had an ordering process and multiple people were submitting orders all at once. Then you could start putting smarts into your ordering application, so if inventory dropped down, it could be notified immediately and even pop up. If it was already in the shopping cart, it could say, I'm sorry, you know, we don't have any more of that. Do you want to wait 30 days? You could do whatever you want. So you could start putting real smarts in your applications and have your users start feeling like you're designing smart applications, ones that sort of anticipate their needs and say, hey, not just try again in 15 minutes. So let's take a look. Do we still have time to take a look at the code? Does anyone want to take a look at the code? Okay. All right, let's take a look at the code. So let's start at the top here so you can get a feel for what's going on. We have here the data for this application, all this is just loaded from an XML file. So I'm not even retrieving this data from the server. I'm just loading it from an XML file. All right? And we can see that right here. It's just an HTTP service. It's a low performance, not a very good performer data tool, but it just loads an XML file. I have the applicant, and then I have something called, we saw the home view, and I have the products view. All right? The products view, let's see if we can actually see anything here. There's our products view. So if we do a show cart, so there we can see that we have this content area. We have our shopping cart, and this is just sort of the design view. If we look at some of the code just briefly here, it's always productive to look at code, try to see what they're doing. So we have this, we have an H box, and inside there we have our what's called here the product filter panel. That's our search panel. And then we have the product cart. That's the products view. And then we have the transitions. Okay, product. So here's the product catalog right here. This is the one that showed the grid of all the products. And then we had up here our product cart. This was the shopping cart that was on the right. So if I dive down into this, I come over here, and now we're getting very close to seeing where, look at this, right there, send it. That's all the code that connected. It actually created, there's not even a component on the screen. It just said, I want to create a new asynchronous message. Here's the user ID, and here's the message here. And it's connecting to the server so it understands the destinations. And it says, listen, let me show you what I mean here. Let's scroll down for a bit. Right here. So when you hit the submit order, it calls send it. Okay. Send it just creates a new asynchronous message and puts in the body a list of all the items that are in the shopping cart. So what we'll do is I'm going to actually go into the debugger. We'll show you the code that's the actual data that's going to go out here, and then we'll debug the other one, and I'll show you the receiving code for that one. It's also a very simple set of code, and you'll see how it actually receives it. So let's put a breakpoint right here. Actually, right here. Let's rerun it. We'll add that one, and we'll add that one. And we'll just we'll change this to 2. And we'll scroll down here. Now we're going to submit. So now I'm in the debugger. Okay. I'm at this point here, and I can look to see in the message application that I just created, there's a body, and I should have 2 products. And there's our first product right there. It's the Nokia 6010. So you can actually see the data that's going to be sent across in the body of this FDS message. So this one is publishing a set of changes that says this data's changed, and here is the actual data. So in this case, it wasn't just the ID that went across, it was the whole data set. I mean, the whole object that's going across. All right. There's a lot of things to notice here when we're using Flex Builder. Notice with the debugger, good luck trying to do something like that in Flex 1.5. How many here have used Flex 1.5? Okay, so you'll notice immediately this is a huge savior. You just couldn't do this in Flex 1.5. So now if we just... And when it does a send, let's just continue on here, come back to the development environment. And that is it. There's no component, and due to an asynchronous message, excuse me. So let's take a look for a moment and try to understand how this is working. Here is the producer. Notice in my code up here, I said, I created this message that I want to send out, and then I told some other component to send that message. All right? Notice right here, I have something called a producer. And the other one, in the dashboard, is called a consumer. I have a producer, and it's using a proxy. Remember how we said we don't know what the details of how it's actually working? So I've just said, use this destination, this target on the server called back office. And so when I say newOrders.send, it's going to send my message. This is going through a channel called RTMP for real-time message protocol. You could specify your other channels. You could use RTMPS for secured RTMP. I think that's an addition new to Flex Data Services. You could use HTTPS. You could use all sorts of things. So let's take a look now at the other application, which is here, the inventory. Here is the message handler for the incoming messages. Notice here, we now have a consumer. Remember I was telling you that one is a producer, one's a consumer? So we now have a consumer. Its destination, it's listening on the same topic, or basically to the same message set of channels called back office. So anytime a message is published to back office, consumer gets notified. Excuse me. Check inventory version gets notified. And it says, okay, when I get a message, call the message handler. The message handler is using something called, I'm really running out of space here, is using something called E4X, ECMAScript for XML, to parse apart the message. So what we have here is coming in as an array of these objects. So it's just sort of, it creates an XML list of these, and then he just does some parsing, updates the quantities, and then updates the XML data structure. And by updating these quantities here, this right here, XML LC product, by updating this data set, it actually updates the bar chart and everything else and the data grid. Very simple. So hopefully what you see by this demonstration or this application, the sample application, is that for publish and subscribe consumers, producers, using Flex Data Services, it's really pretty easy. You don't have to write a lot of code to get something, two apps to start talking together. So when you start looking at Flex Data Services and you want to start playing with it, pick something small. Pick a feature and just start playing with it a little bit. You know, look at some of the online samples. And let me show you one last thing. It's probably instructive because one of the gentlemen here talked about the XML data file. Let me show you the thing that the only thing you have to do for that. Here, I'm sorry, this is so, let me just read this here. This is the only thing I had to do to add it. I said, listen, here's my destination back office, and it's going to use RTMP as the channel, as the protocol that's going to go across the wire. It's as simple as that. Now, if I wanted to save this to the database at the same time, so not only update my dashboard, but then save it to the database, kick off another message to another JMS. The great thing about kicking off another message to JMS is actually I just have another, I could have a Java application that's subscribed to the same destination, the message queue, and my Flex Data Services isn't changed one bit. That other application gets the same notification. Any questions? Yes, sir. Is what available with Flex? The Flex store is available with Flex. The inventory dashboard, I'm sure it could be. If you give me your business card, I'll ask Bob Tierney. If you know, I'm sure it will be fine. But I need to get permission from him. Okay. It's actually really trivial. But if you give me a card, I'll give you the changes I made to the pet store. And then you could write your own consumer. But either way, we could, if you want the code, we'll see what we can do. Yes, sir. To the dashboard? Right. So in that case, my current understanding is the only way to do that is you have a CFC that's doing whatever processing it's going to be doing, and you fire off basically a message to the ColdFusion asynchronous gateway, and you set up your gateway to talk to this destination also. What's that, Jeff? Excellent. So in that case, let's both sit in on that talk and make sure he answers that question. Yes, sir.
Can I do, with FDS, can I do like a record browser interface? Say, I have an application where somebody's bringing back 10,000 rows and they want to look through them one at a time, and it happens. Crazy people, but...
Yes, that's the paging feature. So as they're going down, and let's say you've set on the server, and that's the great thing about FDS is you can say, there may be 10,000 records. As the administrator, I'm going to limit that you're only getting 200 records at a time. So it's 200 are loaded in, right? And it could be from whatever start point you want. So maybe it could be at record 150. 200 get loaded in. They're scrolling down. As soon as they hit that end of that 200 portion they've got, it automatically loads the next set. Does it unload?
Yeah.
Right, right. I don't know that. My first inclination is, it's a data provider. My first inclination is probably not, but you can write code to unload it too, right? So, I mean, you'd have to write a little extra code to do that. And there's other things you may want to do too. Like you could actually then have a query that goes to the server and says, listen, don't give them all to me with paging. I want to apply a filter. And so you could do both approaches. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.